And he says, don't do it, because you could, by mistake, gather up the righteous. Because while they grow together in the world, human beings, the righteous and the wicked can look exactly the same. The Apostle Paul is an excellent example. If he had been harvested before his conversion, boy, you would have been, okay, this is definitely a tare. An enemy of the gospel. An enemy of the kingdom. It is not until the end of the harvest, when the fruit is come to the full, that we are able to tell. I'm not talking about botany. I'm talking about religion. I'm not talking about, you know, I mean, any trained herbalist can tell the difference between different plants. It's not that they're so indistinguishable. The thing is that what seems to be a tear in the spirit, I mean in the spirit world, in the Christian world, you seem to not be a servant of God, can actually be one that is not yet converted. And is it the end of the race when we've left sin behind us that God sees us and he harvests us? God looks to our end and helps us to get there as victors. So what about the action of the devil here? What's this all mean? The serpent was in the garden, and he was, and he seduced them. How did he seduce them? I know that some teachers erroneously teach this parable is about sex. No, he seduced them by his doctrine. Hath God said that you should not eat of every fruit? Well, that's not true. You will become gods and know good and evil. God knows this. He's jealous. He doesn't want you to become like him. He seduced them by his subtlety, not by his good looks. And the seduction was of a spiritual nature. The seduction to sin, of disobedience. And that was the sin. The sin was disobedience. Because concerning no other thing did God give commandment than that they should not eat of that tree. And since they of themselves had no knowledge of good and evil, the only thing they could do to sin was to disobey God. When he said, don't eat. That's all he said. He didn't say, don't lie with the serpent. If they had lied with the serpent, if they had lain with him, they wouldn't have sinned. Because they had not known sin in that regard. Because they had no knowledge of good and evil. They wouldn't have known it was evil. It was by eating of the tree. If it was anything else, other than what it says, then the language is extremely deceitful. It looked good for food, they tasted it, it was good to eat, etc. I'm not going to get totally into that. The point is that this is a picture of predestination. We have the good seed and the bad seed. There's a clear, in the eyes of God, there's a clear delineation between the good and the just. But in the eyes of everyone else, from the angels on down, you can't tell the difference before the harvest. We all grow together. You know, the kingdom of God, the world, is this place where God has sown his own children as good seed. And he has also sown, or allowed to be sown, by the hand of the wicked one, the evil seed. Which is those who will be burned. Those who were created to be destroyed. At the end of the world, there will be a harvest, and he will sever the wicked from among the just and throw them into a furnace of fire. They're going to be burned. Fear not them which destroy the body, but rather fear him that can destroy the soul. The furnace will burn and destroy, not maintain and torment. Not in that sense, not in the sense that it is commonly understood. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Yeah, when the separation comes, you know, when the judgment comes, it's going to be wailing and grinding. Gnashing is grinding of teeth. Because the wicked want to live forever. They think it's owed to them. I deserve to live forever. I know I don't. That's the difference. I'll tell you right there. I know I don't deserve to live. That's why I can look at God and say, he's just. Because none of us deserve to live. He's more than just, actually. He's good. Because people who don't even deserve to live, he's going to give them life, eternal. God saw what he sowed as being good. But from my perspective, I am like a worm. You know, the human condition is so depraved. I need a savior to make me good. Though God from the foundation of the world saw it. You know, that's the message, that God from the foundation of the world sees good seed that he is sowing. Otherwise, it would be, you know, this is not the parable. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a field in which God sowed bad seed. And nothing but bad seed. And then, overnight, a fairy appeared named Jesus who turned some of those bad seeds into good seeds if they would just receive him. We're not talking about magical transformation. Everything God does is intentional. From the beginning, the seed were good. And its fruit good. That's how he looks at it. You know, you plant a seed, and for a while it may struggle along and look sickly and look as if it was about to perish. But with care and with attention, God causes it to grow and bring forth fruit. The harvest of the wheat being the reward of eternal life. Okay, so we'll move on. I think, is that clear? I mean, Jesus gave a good explanation, but the implications are what I'm concerned with. What is the implication of this knowledge he has? From the beginning, he is planting one kind of seed. And another seed is also planted beside it. God, you know, the thing is, when God wanted to kill King Ahab, did he deceive King Ahab? No. No, he sent forth an evil spirit that deceived him. So when God wanted to bring about evil in the world, did he bring about evil in the world? No, he sent forth the devil to deceive. Say, Paul, that's a hard saying to hear. That is how it works. God created the enemy to do the enemy's work. And the enemy hates God. And God hates the enemy. And people would say, well, he fell. It's like, yes, that's true. But God created him with that capacity. It was in him. Iniquity was found in you. There was iniquity in him. And before it was found, it was already there. You can't, you know, without the capacity to do evil, it's like you can't create the capacity within yourself if you do not possess it already. God is creator of all things. God is over all. He is in control. I mean, I'm telling you, it's no, you know, people don't want to believe these things because they don't want to take the time to wrap their mind around it, to really understand. The kingdom of God is like unto this. This is how it is.